Let's continue standing and hear the word of the Lord from Hebrews 11, 32 to 34. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and let's have a warm welcome to Pastor Alan to deliver the message today.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor that today I'm going to receive. Amen, amen. Yeah. I know if there's one thing that I miss, the echo is the feedback. Hello, AV team. The feedback, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, if there's one thing that I miss, is preaching in this service and see all your beautiful and handsome faces. God is good. Yeah. Today, before I start on the actual sermon, I was impressed to share something else with you before we go into sermon. Is that okay with you? Yeah. It's called the seasons of life. All right. The seasons of life. It's not on yet. Sorry. You know, we go through seasons of life. And this seasons of life is nicely divided into maybe 25 years. All right. So the first season of life is springtime, from 1 year old to 25 years old. How many of you fall into this category? 1 to 25 years old. come. How many? All right. This is a very important season. We can call it a morning season or the spring season. Listen, this is the very critical time for you to absorb all that you can, all the knowledge and all the information you can, because this information that you receive is going to chart your trajectory in the later down years of your life. So, you know, in a biblical sense, it's a time to receive the Word of God. Make it your foundation. Make it your live out the Word of God. And that's so important, because when the storm of life comes, the Scripture said when the storm of life comes. It didn't say if the storm of life comes. Whether you stand or whether you fall depends on this season of time, where you find your values, where you find your identity. Who am I? Who am I in Christ? Very, very important. The second season is a summertime, 25 to 50 years old. How many of you are in the category? Woo! Yeah, just a couple of... Oh, about to be over there. Treasure it, all right? This is a time to exegete the word that you have learned, the word that you have received from the Lord, the sermons that you have heard. How are you exegeting it in your practical life? And it's very, very important. This is a time where you learn to grow. This is a time when you learn from your mistake. This is a time when you learn as you serve. This is also the time where you influence others, the summertime, all right? And this is autumn time. I think, who is in this autumn time, Liao? Boliao, I am in the autumn time. All right, this is a time whereby the impartation of knowledge, your skill, your wisdom that you have gained from the Lord, your walk with the Lord, and it's a time for you to share with others, to impart your knowledge and your strength and your wisdom to the next generation. This is what I'm doing right now. I have so much to say to young people, because you are the hope of tomorrow. You are where we pass the baton to you. All right? So unless you are very well equipped in the first season of your life and the second season of your life, you can't impart. Amen? So this is the part whereby Paul was writing to 2 Timothy, where he said, the things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions are some of my ministry, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, and trust as a treasure to reliable and faithful men who will also be capable and qualified to teach others. This is discipleship. Passing down what you have learned to another. All right? There's so much that I want to share with you. But you know, I tell you, before you know it, you'll reach my age. Time flies by so fast. You know, 7 years in agape, and it's just over just like that. Yeah. So it's a time for impartation. It's a time for you to really be, you know, I'll be going the next season of my life to Ubon, because I think that's a place where there is a great need for the gospel there, much more so than Singapore. But I am sure that the rest of the pastors here will know how to shepherd you and bring your faith up. All right? The third season is winter time. 75 to 100, it's time to rest. Yeah. So after I retired at the age of, you know what? I was telling myself, I'm still have the energy, I have still the passion to preach God's word. I can't retire myself. And that's the reason when the opportunity come for me to serve in Ubon, I say yes to the Lord. Yeah. So it's a season, it's not the season to rest yet. You know, you have the whole of eternity to rest, but now it's a time to be on fire for the Lord, to serve Him. And then a time, you know, this is a time also where your body will grow weaker, but at the same time, you are being renewed day by day in the Spirit. It's a time of peace. It's a time of great joy. It's a time to reminisce what you have done in the past and thank the Lord for it, right? And then go home, yeah? So it's a beautiful journey. So I think it's very important for you to know what seasons of life you are in so that you won't waste your time, too much time playing computer games and not equip yourself. We have no time to waste, all right? If you want to serve the Lord, if you want to serve it effectively, now is the time, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the time for you to really be serious about God. Catch hold of His word, live out the word in your flesh. That's what God wants you to do. Yeah, and then serve Him, all right? Okay, have you ever felt overwhelmed at times, maybe too much work, or where you feel that too many people are crowding around you? Many years ago, I was driving along PIE when I met with an accident. I accidentally nudged a cousin. You know what a cousin is? A cousin is a Muslim brother, all right? We call them cousin, all right? So I knocked down a cousin, and he was not seriously injured. But before I know it, you know, there are many other cousins surrounding me. I felt so threatened, you know. And that's the situation. And these Muslim brothers, they are very, what you call them, very united in a sense. I wish that sometimes our Christian community can be like that. They come around. So I was surrounded. So after some time, I think I paid him a medical fee for compensation. Thank God that we live in Singapore, a law-abiding country, and then the issue was resolved. Yeah. So I had a sense of being overwhelmed. Yeah. In today's story of Gideon, although our scripture said we got no time to talk, but we have a short period of time to talk about Gideon, and that's wonderful. Yeah. So in a sense, in the movie 2006, how many have you seen the Gerard Butler movie called 300? Sparta. And no, maybe yes. Still too young, all right? So in that movie, 300 Spartan soldiers were being overwhelmed by 300,000 conquering Persian soldiers, all right? They were being overwhelmed. And how can you fight against that? But they were fearless, all right? Now, let's have a short taste of this movie, this clip. I'll play it, yeah. Can it be played?
Earthquake.
No, Captain. Battle formations.
Thank you.
Agapians! Get ready for better. All right, this is a beautiful movie whereby, you know, the only difference between Gerard Butler playing the part of King Leonidas is that, you know, he was alone. But in the case of Gideon, God was with him. All right, so it's a very exciting movie and also a very exciting sermon that you're going to hear today. So before we start, shall we pray? Yeah. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. As we open up your word, Lord, let it not entertain us, but let it transform us, so that, Lord God, we may be like Gideon, Barak, Samson, and all the other men of faith, turning our weakness into strength for your glory. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I have entitled the main focus of today as this: God is able to use weak men and women by turning their fears, doubts, and weaknesses to faith and strength, so that they could accomplish great things for him. All right? Faith is available to all, not only the pastors, not only Pastor Lee Kai, not only Pastor YC, no. Everybody is capable of doing great things for God, all right? As we'll see later, all right? The story of Gideon took place about 3,000 years ago. And we were at a time where Israel was in spiritual darkness and confusion. So that the word again, the Israelites did what was evil again in the eyes of the Lord. That's a sin nature, right? We seem to be repeating our sin over and over again. We fail again and again. That's the sin nature that we must conquer every day. Do you know that every day you are facing a spiritual battle with the temptation that you face, the decisions that you made? The decisions that you make daily either draw you closer to God or further away. Okay, so that's the thing that we need to know, that the sin nature is in us, and we need to conquer the passion of our flesh, you know, in order to overcome. Now, so Israel did evil again, and the Lord subjected Israel to 7 years of oppression under the hands of the Midianites because they disobeyed God. Why is it so difficult for us to obey God? It's so good to obey God, isn't it? Yeah, I was talking to a young brother early on. You know, just follow the way of the Lord and receive the blessing. The moment you leave God, the moment you leave His way, the moment you leave His word, the enemy is going to attack you. You are easy meat for them. All right? So it's important for us to stay close to God. Get yourself established in the word. Make the word the foundation of your living. And it's that important. Yeah? So who were the Midianites? You know, the Midianites were actually related to the Israelites. The Midianites were descendants of Midian. If you know, who was the first wife of Abraham? Hey, come on. That's easy peasy. Who? Sarah. Yeah, Sarah. So after Sarah died, did Abraham marry again? Yes, he married again. He married a woman called Keturah. And Keturah gave birth to another 7 sons. And Midian was the 4th son of Keturah and Abraham. All right, so they were in good terms early on, but later on they became enemies. So these are the Midianites. And the Midianites are like nomadic people. They will go around places, conquering the land, robbing people of their harvest. So this is a situation where Gideon was at. All right, that at every harvest season, the Midianites, there were so many of them, would ride into Israel, plunder the crop, steal their animals, and then leave Israel with nothing. All right? So this is a situation that we find Gideon in. All right? That when, in order to protect the crops, in order to protect their own lives, they have to hide in caves, and stronghold, hiding away from the enemy. And, you know, what's wrong with threshing wheat in a wine press? You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You usually thresh wheat on an elevation, on a hilltop, whereby you can winnow the wheat, and then the chaff will be blown away by the wind. All right. So he was hiding here because he was afraid. No, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. It's just like washing your meat, your chicken in the toilet. You don't do that. All right. So that's the situation because he was afraid. And then the Lord came when Gideon was giving up hope, when he was at his lowest point, when he said, life cannot get any better. Lord appeared to him. That's our God. He knows, he sees you, and he will appear to you at your lowest ebb. And he said, with this amazing greeting, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Gideon must be saying, huh? They must be looking around and say, is there anybody else I don't see here? Yeah. Or he could have said, this is a good message. It's a good message. But Lord, if you know, it's a wrong address. If you know me, I'm hiding here. How can you call me man of valor? All right. But that is the way of God. He does not see you as you are today. He sees you what you can become in his eyes. I wonder how many of you are looking at yourself that I'm a failure, looking at yourself that I am not amount to anything. But the Lord doesn't see you in that way. He sees you what you can become. So how are you seeing yourself today? All right, I see what I can see here. A mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor that will do great things for God. Can you tell your neighbor that you can become what God wants you to become? Come on, come on. Do it more convincingly. You can become what God wants you to become. Amen? Amen. And I said amen. It's easy to tell others. It's easy to tell others that you can become what God wants you to become. Now I want to say it to yourself convictingly that I can become what God wants me to become. Can you tell that to yourself? One, two, three. Come on, come on, say it with more conviction. I can become what God wants me to become. And he wants you to be like Gideon, like Barak, like Samson. That's what he wants you to become. All right? Okay, let's move on. So when God calls the angel of the Lord, which I believe is a pre-incarnation form of Jesus Christ, came to Gideon and said, I have sent you to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He said, yeah, so exciting. It's long overdue. Did he say that? No. He gave an excuse. The first excuse he gave is that, how can God be with us? Right? Look at the miseries we are in. All right? I wonder whether he's a Singaporean good complainer. And the other complainer said, what happened to the miracles that I heard about from my ancestors that you did in Egypt? None of this has happened. And now you said, I'm a mighty man of God. Now you say that you're going to send me? No way. I'm not going. All right? So the assignment given, he rejected it. And all of us have our excuses in it, isn't it? So Gideon's excuse was that I come from the weakest clan from Manasseh. And I am the youngest in the family. So, Lord, can you call someone else? Yeah. Can you call someone else? All of us, including biblical characters, they give excuse. Moses said that he cannot speak well. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. All right? And Jonah didn't want God to save the Ninevites. So what's your excuse today if you hear God calling you? Yeah. Say yes. All right? Don't say no, God. Okay? So when difficulties and the challenges of life come, we have to look upward. Obstacles, you have got to trick obstacles as your friend. They are not enemy. They are in fact messengers of God sent to strengthen your will and strengthen your faith. All right. So what happened when we look inward? When we look inward, when situation come, I question my own faith. I am weak. I can't do this. You know, there are many, many things that you can't do. I know. But if God is with you, you are the majority and you can do it. Amen. So what is this? When situation come, hardship come, challenges come, don't look inward, look upward. Because that's where your strength is. If you battle Satan in your fleshly design, you're going to lose every time, right? But when you look up, you fight the victory that is already won for you at the cross. You fight the victory there, and Satan every time will be defeated. Okay? So you have to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You have to know your identity. You know that the victory is already won. You are fighting your victory for a better from a place of victory, not from a place of defeat. All right? So enemy always attack you by turning your focus inward. All right, when you turn inward, I see my lack of faith. I question my ability. All right. So don't you must know the tactics of Satan so that you know that God has called you. If God has called you, he will also provide you with the means and the strength. All right. So if a counselor, this is very important. I want every one of you to remember this. If our counsel comes only from difficulties and challenges of our heart, our challenges, our heart will be shaped by inferior things. Faith becomes an uphill task. If you keep on circling around all those difficulties, think, I cannot. This is too difficult. It's impossible. Then your heart will also be shaped by those difficulties and challenges. You'll never do anything great for God. But if your heart is shaped by, when you look up and shaped by the word of God, he said, you are my child, you are the apple of my eye, right? I will strengthen you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you let those words sink into your head and into your heart, then you are shaped by the word of God. You can become a mighty man of God. You can become a Deborah. You can be a Samson or Barak, all right? So look upward, let the Spirit of God enlighten you into the heart and mind of God towards your situation. Yes, life is difficult. Yes, there will be challenges in life. There will be great challenges. Satan doesn't fight fair, okay? But the thing is that if you are suffering from a situation, seek God and say, God, what are you saying in my situation? Let the Spirit of God, you know, be imparted into your spirit. And then you look at things from God's perspective instead of my surrounding, instead of my own weakness. All right? So this is a better plan for you. Okay? Let the Spirit of God enlighten you in the heart and mind of God towards your situation. What is God saying to you? He said, my child, I know you are suffering, but don't worry. I'm with you. I'm with you always. I will strengthen you with my mighty right hand. Encourage yourself with the word of God. All right, and then rise from your difficulties and challenges. Can we read this together? Kori Ten Boom. 1, 2, 3. So nice, huh? It's wonderful. All right, look at the world we are living in. It's in a mess. Okay, you will really be distressed by the worst situation, wars, you know, famine, earthquake, and all. But if you look within you, you'll likely be depressed. You say, oh, Lord, what can I do? Look at this world. Lord, take me home. Take me home. It's not time to go home yet. All right? It's time for you to rise up, look up, and look at God, and then you will have your peace. Amen? Amen, amen. All right? So we also need to understand the tactics of the enemy. If you want to fight the battle, you need to know how to fight him. You know his tactic. One of his tactics is that he always come and attack you through obstacles, through hardship, through difficulties, and even tragedies. That's how he attacks. He doesn't fight fair. But the most common way that he attacks you is through your mind, is through the question, the doubt. Did God really say in Genesis 3? Isn't it? He said, he spoke to Eve. Did God really say you cannot eat from this tree? All the trees? No. So he questioned you. And then doubts become. Now the temptation in the Garden of Eden is not about the temptation of eating the fruit. The temptation is questioning the character of God, the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you taking the Word of God? Do you really trust Him? I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. You know, the Word of God is such, you know, I read it, I see it, I believe in it. That settles it. The Word of God is not for you to discuss. The Word of God is not for you to challenge. The Word of God is for you to obey. The Word of God is for you to obey. So when we obey the Word of God, then the blessing of God, the power of God, the goodness of God will flow to you. Right? That's why the Word of God is so important. And we need really to establish ourselves. Right? Okay. Right? So when you doubt the goodness of God, that's how he attacks. It's very subtle. When you doubt the goodness of God, when you doubt his word, you will never ever do anything for God. You will always give your excuse. But when I say, God, I believe in your word is the truth. All right? The word of God is not idle words. They are life to you. They are healing to your body. So when you know how to apply the Word of God to yourself, all right, it will be life to you, the kind of life that God wants you to live, not the kind of hang around doing nothing kind of life. Yeah? So reasons for obstacles. Why are there obstacles? Every time you stand up and you do something, want to do something for God, you know, there will be obstacles in our way. But what are the reasons for the obstacles? You see, because you are a threat to His kingdom. If you are not a threat to His kingdom, He said, let him be. He go to church, she goes to church. Let him be, let him go to church. It's okay. He's quite okay with you coming to church to worship. But the moment you make up your mind to say, Lord, I want to make a difference in your kingdom, all right, and you get in the business of saving souls, I bet you, all right, I'm sure that the obstacles will come. You will be attacked. Satan will put his radar on you and say, kill that guy, kill the woman. Right? But you do not have to be afraid, because God has given us the armor of God to every day. That's why every morning when you wake up, put on the armor. You say, Lord, I'm going to work today. I'm going to school today. Right? Please put a guard over my mouth. Put your control over my thoughts. The Word of God said in 2 Corinthians, I think Paul said, capture every thought and put it in obedience to God, to Christ. And every day, whether you know it or not, you are tempted. You are tempted to lie. You are tempted to do something that's not right. You are tempted by addiction. You are tempted by saying bad word, vulgar word. We are tempted. You are tempted by self-condemnation, into thinking I'm not worth it. Every day that you will face with temptations and attacks of the enemy, but you need to put on the armor of God and be alert. Right? So second reason why there are obstacles is that you are close to another victory. Satan knows that if he passes this obstacle, he will be on the road to victory. It's like football, huh? If the attacker passes the defender, he will score a victory, a goal. And that's the reason why that obstacle comes, because you are close to another victory. You're close to another victory that God wants to give you. Thirdly, have the right perspective to obstacles. Obstacles are not meant to crush us. Obstacles are there to strengthen you, to build your faith, to affirm that you are on the right path. You are on in God's will. Right? So we need to embrace obstacles as our friend. Okay? So now, continuing with the story of Gideon. So the first assignment God gave to Gideon was to take down the altar of Baal and the Asherah pole that's next to him, next to it. And did Gideon obey? Yes, he did obey. Was he fearful? Yes, he was fearful. So God gave him an assignment, so he did it in the night. Sefirma, right? Everybody's sleeping. So in the night, he took 10 of his servants, cut down and destroy the altar of Baal, cut down the Asherah pole, and then he erected a new altar for God. And then when morning came, the townspeople, the father was also a Baal worshipper, came and said, who did this? Who did this? All right, who cut down our altar? And after some investigation, they found that it was the son of Joash, who is the father of Gideon. And then they demanded, they went to Joash's home and said, give me Gideon. He must die for cutting down the Asherah pole and the altars of Baal. Did the father surrender him? No. If you read the story, the father defended, although he was a Baal worshipper. He said, if Baal is a real God, let him defend himself. All right. In some of our faith today, men are trying to defend God. God is a lion. You don't need to defend him. All you need to do is let him out of the cage. Amen. God is the Lion of Judah. So what happened is that Gideon did it in the night because of fear. There is a spiritual principle here. Notice that faith begins at your own backyard before you can make it public. If you want to heal someone, if you want to have the ministry of healing, if you want to preach the word of faith, it has to start at your own backyard. Exercise it at the home first, at the private. Say, Lord, I am having this headache. Please heal me. Exercise your faith. All right? Then you can go public. Now, so Gideon inspired his father to defend him. I remember in our second trip to Ubon, some of you come back on fire for the Lord because you have encountered God during the war room or during what you see God is doing. You know, you inspire your parents, you know, and all of you. You know, it was such a beautiful picture. Don't think that you are young and you cannot inspire your parents. You can. Everyone has influence. In your lifetime, somebody did a research, you can influence 10,000 people in your lifetime. Right? You can be an influence for good, for the Lord. Right? Go for mission trip, come back on fire, keep the fire burning. All right. Yeah. So Gideon, in chapter 6, end of chapter 6, Gideon gathered up an army of 32,000 men from the tribes of Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So 32,000 men, quite a bit of an army, but he was still outnumbered 4-1. No, because the Midianites, they had 135,000 men, fully armed, fully equipped, fully experienced men. How are you going to fight this better? Okay. Gideon had too many men before Gideon can complain. God, how to fight 35,000 against 135, 4-1? I have to kill four. One of us have to kill four enemies. It's impossible. Before he can complain, God said, you have too many men. Remove them. And he instructed Gideon. He said, tell the army, if any one of you are frightened of going to the war, go home. Go home. How many left on that day? 22,000 left. My goodness. So now Gideon is only left with 10,000 men. And still, God has a very good sense of humor. He is full of confidence, full of faith. 10,000 is still too many. Too many. Bring them down to the river. Let them drink water. And then I'll choose from the way they drink. Interesting strategy, isn't it? How do you choose people for war? Those who are strong, those are mighty. But in this case here, it's how you drink water. All right? So that's how he chose. So on the day, there were two kinds of drinker. All right? Not alcohol, just water. Right? There are two kinds of drinkers. That's how they drink. 9,700 of them kneel down this way. And like dog, they just lap up the water. But only 300 kneel down, scoop the water in their hands, and put it to the mouth. And God chose these 300 for two reasons. First reason is because God wants to be sure that the victory belongs to God. It's not your human achievement. All right? Many of us think that we are very smart, very capable. Put that aside. Rely on God. It's his battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. So 300 men only knelt down and bring water to. And these 300 were chosen. Okay? Now, the 300 chosen because they have a sense of security. When you kneel down and scoop water, you're still observing your environment. Isn't it? All right? But nowadays, thank God, you can drink water from a cup. No need to drink it. That difficult. Yeah. All right? And that's the lesson that we have to stay alert. We have to stay alert daily because the enemy in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Let's read this together so that you can get this into a spirit and be prepared. 1, 2, 3. When the enemy attack, you need to stand firm. All right, you need to trust in God. James 4:7 says, submit to God, then what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil. Who resists? God or you? Who resists the devil? Is it you or is it God? Resist the devil. It's you. All right? God has given you faith. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I just told Ian earlier on that Satan is sometimes called the Lord of the Flies. How long is the lifespan of a fly? Do you know? Don't know. How long is the lifespan of a fly? 30 days. After 30 days, the flies die. He's called the Lord of the Flies means that his victory, his obstacles will not last forever. All right? If you stand and you resist him, he will die like the fly. Okay? So that's the reason. Now, how do we stay alert? We stay alert by having a hunger for God's word. A hunger for God's word. It's a gift to have a hunger. Now, in the physical, we eat when we are hungry, right? But in the spiritual, we become hungry when we eat. You get it? The more you intake, you ingest the word of God, the hungrier you become. So ask God for the gift of hunger. God, I want this gift of hunger for your word. All right? And then feed yourself on the word of God, and your faith will grow. Secondly, hate sin and love God. Don't trifle with sin. I said, don't trifle with sin. Okay? You will not know what sin can lead you. Sin will make you pay the price that you're not willing to pay. Sin will take you long to a distance longer than you're willing to go. All right? So don't ever mess with sin. Stay far away from it. Hate sin like God hates sin. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind strength. Thirdly, not leaving church. I've seen in my ministry, I've seen so many young people get in when they leave church. Young people, listen. When you leave church, you're opening yourself, exposing yourself to the attack of the enemy. The church is a covering that God has given you, right? But the moment you leave it, you're going to get into all kinds of trouble and destruction, all right? So too many strayed away, and, you know, it's just a sad story. Sometimes when I look at my young people, I look back at some of the old photographs, I say, hey, this young man is no longer in church. This young woman is no longer in church. Where are they now? I wept for them. Yeah. So if you notice that some of your friends have dropped out from the congregation, call them up. They say, how are you doing? Hey, we have this occasion. Can you come and join us? All right, be an agent for God. All right, be a capo for God. It's all right. Okay, then an unwinnable war. So now Gideon's from 4-1, now his odds is 450-1. How to fight? Yeah, unless God is in it. All right, so this is an unfair, unwinnable war. You cannot win this kind of war. All right, and not only that, you can't blame Gideon for being frightened. They were not even given weapons. They were only given instruments. What kind of instruments? They were only given a jar, fire, a torch, and then a bugle, a trumpet. That's all. How much confidence do you need? How much faith do you need to fight such a battle? Imagine it. All right. So it's just amazing. All right. So Gideon remained fearful, and we can't blame him for that. So God knew the fear of his servant. So what he did, he said, Gideon, I'm going to give you another sign. This time, you go down to the enemy's camp and hear what the enemy is saying. So Gideon went down and hear that two soldiers were sharing. One of them were sharing a dream that he had. He said, I dreamed that there was a barley loaf that rolled down from the hill and crushed the tent of the Midianites. Yeah, then the other one gave the interpretation of the dream. Do you know that this is a supernatural sign? Right? How is it that so coincidence that at the same time that they reached the enemy camp, these two soldiers talking? So the other interpretation was that this is nothing more than the sword of Gideon, and God has given the whole camp, the whole Midian camp, into the hands of Gideon. Wow, if you have such a sign, you know, Gideon was encouraged. And so what he did is that he was greatly encouraged. And this is another spiritual principle that you must learn. Worship precedes victory. Worship precedes victory. No matter how difficult your situation is, like the song we just sang early on, right? That woman put in the Zhan Mei Shen. Because God inhabits in the praises of his people. When you sing, there is something in the spiritual environment that attracts God into your situation that will send deliverance to you. So never give up worshiping the God. Right? When you have challenges, get down on your knee, say, God, I love you, I thank you, I praise you. Although it's difficult, I know that, Lord God, you will deliver me. All right? Worship precedes victory. All right? So on the night, the Lord completely wiped out the Midianites. Some of them ran away, and then they started killing each other. Okay? So Israel enjoyed the peace for 40 years. All right? But very interestingly, the story of little Gideon points to a greater Gideon. All right? Because 1,300 years after Gideon, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he prophesied the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah will also, like Gideon, win a great spiritual victory. Win a great spiritual victory, and the people will rejoice. All right? So his coming was usher in a great spiritual victory, bring unending joy to the nations of the earth. So little Gideon points us to the greater Gideon, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay, right? So can we read this together? It's found in Isaiah. He wrote this, 9 verses 2 to 4, chapter 9. 1, 2, 3. The rod of the oppressor. Amen. Isn't it a beautiful picture that the Old Testament story, 1,300 years later, we announce the coming of the Messiah who will conquer the dark forces of spiritual darkness and give us unending joy. You see that here, you are the most blessed of people because God has delivered you from your sin. Hallelujah. All right? So what happened here is that Jesus is greeted. Greater Gideon. In many ways, there is a parallelism running between Gideon and Jesus. All right, look at this. Just as Gideon came as a judge to deliver Israel, Jesus came to deliver mankind from the bondage of sin and death. Isn't it amazing? Secondly, just as the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon on the day of his baptism, the Holy Spirit came like a dove on Jesus and anointed him as the Christ. As the Christ. Thirdly, just as Gideon appeared in dream as a barley loaf, Jesus is the bread of life. Hallelujah. All right? Just as Gideon started his battle with the sound of a trumpet, Jesus' final victory in his second coming will be announced by an angel blowing a trumpet as well. Hallelujah. And what are the faith lessons we can learn from the story of Gideon? I want to leave you with this in conclusion. Firstly, faith is not the absence of fear, but overcoming of fear. All right, pushing aside of fear. And every time you decide to work for the Lord, to take up an assignment for the Lord, be sure that there will be obstacle, there will be fear. But you are not to be afraid, you are to overcome the fear. Gideon, in every step of his way, was fearful. But one by one, he overcame them. All right? So fear cripples us, but faith causes us to walk in victory. Okay? Yeah. Secondly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. The word of God are not just idle word. They are life to you, and they are medicine to your body. It can bring healing. God wants you to live out his word in the flesh. Just as Jesus came as an incarnation of a man, God now wants to give you his word so that you can live out daily in the flesh. All right? People make fun of you. People criticize you. You're still smiling. Is this guy crazy or mad? No. It's Jesus in me. Amen. Thirdly, faith is an act and it must be activated. And now you sit on a bicycle. Can it move? No, it's not moving. It's still stationary. You put your legs on the pedal, can it move? No, it's still not moving. It's only when you start cycling that the bike begins to move. So it's the same with faith. Faith is an act. It must be activated. It must be activated. So the thing is that, you know, if you want to grow in your faith, start small, all right? Hear from the Lord. Do it promptly. The moment God asks you to do something, don't delay. I tell you, there is another spiritual principle here. When you apply to God, when you hear God telling you something, do it quickly. Why? Because when you say yes to God, yes, I will do that, Lord, I will do that. Immediately, in the spiritual realm, there is a release of great force. All right? That's a spiritual principle. Many of us delay, pray about it. Let me pray, right? Then after you forget. All right? You know, we lose a sense of urgency. When you hear from God and not act. Will God bless your delay obedience? Yes, He will, because of His grace. But the impact is not as great as when you hear it and you do it immediately. All right, that's a great spiritual principle. All right, so faith is a fact only when it's an act. You don't act and then you talk about faith, it's no use. When you act on it, oh, God, you are faithful, it's true. All right, faith is an act of motion, nothing happens till you act. Fourth, faith begins by taking the first step. This is stating the obvious. In the first service, I said one of our elderly couple, lady, he came to church every Sunday. How? By taking the first step out of her house. And then the second step, the third step, until she reaches church. So faith is the same, all right? You must begin somewhere. At some point, you must be convinced that the Word of God is the truth, and then you want to act on it, okay? And now, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, isn't it? And the first step in fulfilling God's destiny is a step of willingness to step out of your comfort and security zone. I'm going to Ubon. I do not know what's ahead of me, but I have the Word of God. I know who is leading me. Yeah, and that's enough for me. All right? So that's the thing. So faith means, yes, Lord, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm stepping out of my security and I surrender myself into your loving hand. That's the lesson that we can learn from Gideon. All right? Just as Gideon worshiped the Lord before the Lord gave him victory, today he heard the word of God, his faith increased, he overcome fear. Today, all of you seated here have heard the word of God being released to you, and then before you can have your victory. Some of you are struggling with some things that I do not know, but victory, worship precedes victory. You heard the message. Today, can we all stand? Can I invite the worship leader to come? And we shall worship the God as our God as a response to the message that we hear. Shall we? Amen.